The last 3 weeks we have been speaking about encouragement, and I hope you have been encouraged in your hearts. And this morning I want to continue along the same lines. I want to speak about one of the most common, ordinary temptations all of us face in a daily life. You know, we have to overcome many sins in Christian life, and I believe God's given us grace to overcome. But there is one sin or one temptation that constantly bothers us. You know what is that? That is temptation to be discouraged. All of us, irrespective of who we are, children, teens, young people, married people, parents, all of us are tempted to be discouraged in this life. And we may think that we are the only ones that are discouraged. That's not true. There's hardly any person who has never been tempted to be discouraged. You know, discouragement is universal. And discouragement means you are tempted to lose courage and give up. Like, for example, we send our children to school. Yeah, they don't like to go to school. We drag them, and rain or shine, the parents drag them to school, and they say, oh, I don't like maths, I don't like this subject. But we say, no, you got to go through, you got to endure 10 years of schooling, because we know that's good for them. And afterwards, they're so thankful for their education. And discouragement is one of the greatest weapons of the devil. I heard once the devil had a garage sale. Yet it marked all his tools with the appropriate price: hatred, envy, lust, deceit, lying, pride. But amongst all of them, there was one tool which had a very, very high price. And someone asked the devil, what is that? He says, that is discouragement. And it's priced high because it's more useful than all the other tools. Discouragement is a destructive weapon of Satan that deflates spiritual strength and zeal and makes a Christian become spiritual dry. You know why we get discouraged? There are many, many reasons. Fatigue, frustration, failure in career. Maybe some people get discouraged, they didn't get promotion. Love failure, marriage failure, fear of future, sickness, or loneliness. We also get discouraged when we are defeated by sin. Many people, when they are sick, they get discouraged. Some people, they get discouraged because they have such unrealistic goals in their life. And sometimes people let us down, and that also can discourage us. And some people are disappointed with God. They say, brother, I prayed and prayed, but I didn't get an answer to prayer. I prayed to God for this, and I didn't get that. So they tend to lose faith in God. Some people, they are short-sighted. They only look at the present trial. They forget that God's got a wonderful plan for them. So we can say, all our trials is a passing thing. And that's why we have to look far ahead and not quit. And tragically, some, because of discouragement, turn to drugs, alcohol, or any other sinful habit which leads them to more discouragement. Some people even take their lives out of discouragement. We read that in the papers often. You know, to be tempted to be discouraged is not sin, but to yield to discouragement is sin. You can learn to say no to discouragement. You have to make that choice daily. Refuse to be discouraged. Fight a good fight. Seek to overcome. You know, we say Jesus was tempted like us in all points, but I don't think many of us believe that Jesus too was tempted to be discouraged. See, because all of us are tempted to be discouraged very often. So you can be sure Jesus was tempted also to be discouraged. But the Bible says Jesus in Hebrews chapter 12, he resisted sin unto bled. You know that verse, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4. He says, you have not yet resisted unto bled, striving against sin. Or verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. You want to overcome discouragement? Look at Jesus. Jesus endured and endured and endured, never gave up till the end. You know, a study shows that more than 70 to 80% of Christian leaders are tempted to be discouraged, including their wives. And I want to tell you something interesting this morning. God cannot use a discouraged person. Shall I say it once again? God cannot use a discouraged person. In the Bible, I do not find God using any person who was discouraged. God used Nehemiah. Nehemiah had tremendous, he overcame discouragement. He had faith. Haggai, Naomi, Joshua, David, Gideon, Paul, Timothy, they all overcame discouragement. Okay, this morning I want to show you seven or eight ways how we can overcome discouragement. I want to go through quickly. So, number one, you want to overcome discouragement? Be occupied with God. Don't always be inward looking. Don't focus on yourself, your faults, your failures. And don't listen to the devil. The devil is a liar. He always accuses us, condemns us, and discourages us. You know, when you're tempted, what you should say? Get behind me, Satan. I'm not going to listen to you. Listen to the Lord. The Lord will always encourage you. I want to tell you this morning, the Lord will never say you're useless, you're hopeless. You know, the Lord's got tremendous hope for all of us. He knows that we have tremendous potential. And I believe the Lord thinks that you're wonderful. And you know, say to yourself, I'm a child of God, redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I've been chosen by God. God's got a plan for me. And be occupied with God's love. God so loved me. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, the more you're occupied with God's love, all discouragement will go away. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39. Apostle Paul could say, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine. He says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. How through him who that loved us? And Paul could say, I believe we should testify with Paul, I am convinced that nothing will separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's love is unconditional. God's love will not change no matter what you do and don't do. You cannot earn God's love. He's already loved you 2,000 years ago and before the foundation of the world. Don't doubt God's love. Rejoice in His love. Okay. Then be occupied with God's goodness. Psalm 27 verse 13. David says, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Think about God's goodness to you. How good He has been to you. Some of us have been saved from heathen background. I hope you are thankful to God for your salvation. Be occupied with God's mercy. Count your blessings. All discouragement will go away when you see how much the Lord has blessed you. I hope all of us are deeply thankful for our salvation, that our name is written in the book of life, for the Holy Spirit, for the church, for the word of God we received, for the wonderful fellowship we have. And the psalmist said, I'll bless the Lord at all times, no matter how I feel. You choose not to yield to sin and not to get discouraged. And you got to say, I will rejoice in the Lord. Don't let your moods dictate your life. Moods come and go. You go to work whether you feel like or not. You can come to the church also on time whether you feel like or not. When you wake up in the morning, maybe the weather is cloudy. Don't say, oh brother, I'm feeling dull. Just say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. God will give me a good day. I will do God's will today. Speak encouraging words to yourself and others. That will make a great difference. Husbands and wives, when you get up in the morning, don't just say, get me a coffee, cup of coffee. Yeah, I'm not against cup of coffee. But learn to speak words of encouragement to each other. Say to yourself, God will make me a blessing. God's given me many talents and gifts. And I have great potential to be useful in the kingdom of God. Don't just say, oh, I'm nothing, I'm useless. If you keep thinking like that, you will become useless. God will make me useful in the body of Christ. Can you say that? Can you shout it out? And God will fulfill it. Okay, I want to move on. Our time is running out. Number one, be occupied with God, His love, His goodness, His mercy, His salvation, and you can overcome discouragement. Number two, you know, the other day I was reading somewhere, I can't remember where I read it, but it made an impact on my heart in Acts chapter 6, verse 4. You know, in the church they had some problem, the apostles dealt with it, and they said, we don't want to be occupied with all this administration problems. Verse 4, it says, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. In some other translation it says, we will addict ourselves to ministry of the word and prayer. That made an impact on me. You know, many people are addicted to drugs, smoking, alcohol, nowadays mobile. All the time I see young people doing like this. TV, internet, pornography, movies. I want to recommend a new addiction to all of us. Be addicted to the word of God. That will save you from much encouragement. Study the word. The word of God will give us faith, inspiration and courage. George Mueller, I believe, studied the New Testament more than 200 times. That should challenge us. You can overcome the devil only through the word of God. Jesus said, it's written. Read the word until you're encouraged. Know the promises of God. You know, God's given us wonderful promises. And how do you know you're addicted to the word of God? Shall I ask you, what do you do in your spare time? Do you spontaneously go and read the word of God when you get prayer? In Colossians chapter 3, it says here, that's a favorite verse for many of us, Colossians chapter 3. I like that word. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, this is new covenant life. Not always struggling with sin. The word of Christ should dwell in you richly. I hope from today many young people will be addicted to the word of God. I want to be addicted to the word of God. And then it says here, the apostles wanted to be addicted to prayer. Oh, Jesus prayed so much for Peter and his disciples. And even today he intercedes for us. Apostle Paul was really addicted to prayer. He prayed for Romans and Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians and Thessalonians and many other churches. Epaphras, Colossians 4:12, he says he labored in prayers. Samuel prayed for Israel. All of you mothers, your prayers are very valuable. Jesus said in Luke 18, we have to pray and not faint. When Peter was in prison, Acts 12:5, prayer was made by the church without ceasing. You know, ask the Lord to give you a ministry of intercession. You don't need a gift for that. You can pray and pray and pray. How many of you prayed for the meeting today? Can I see your hands? Be addicted, brothers and sisters, to prayer. Lord, bless the meeting. Bless the brothers who share your word. In a short time, it will become a habit for you. I want to tell you, all of us, don't say, oh brother, I don't have a gift. Don't say, brother, I'm too busy with children. You can make 101 excuses if you want. But from today, Lord, I want to be addicted to prayer. It will change your life. I'm telling you, it's not a sin if you didn't pray. But I can tell you, it will change your life. When you pray for the meetings every Sunday, you can pray on Saturdays also. Say, Lord, bless the brothers who are sharing your word. Bless the brothers and sisters who are coming with a burden. Lift their burdens. May God give all of us grace to be addicted to prayer. And 1 Corinthians 16:15 speaks about a brother, Stephanas. He says, and family, they were addicted to the ministry of saints. That's a wonderful ministry all of us can cover this morning. I hope you will say, Lord, help me from today to be addicted to your word, addicted to prayer, and addicted to serving, encouraging, blessing the brothers and sisters. You know, it says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap if you don't get discouraged. Keep serving the saints and you'll not be discouraged. You know, I remember a godly brother once said, serve the local church. That's where you'll grow. I want to say once again, you want to grow? Serve the local church. Best way to overcome discouragement is encourage others. I can testify that there's something encouraging about serving the Lord. You know, I remember when I was small, we used to sing this song, I'll be somewhere working for the Lord. I believe a sister once was depressed and once came to a leader for counsel. And after listening for some time, the leader asked her, what is your ministry? She said, what did he say? He repeated again, what is your ministry? She said, I don't have any ministry. Then he told her, if I sat quietly doing nothing, I'll also be depressed. He says, go and do something. Clean the floor. Do the dishes. Do something for the Lord and the church. And that will, your discouragement will disappear. Brothers and sisters, when we serve the Lord and the church, I want to tell you, you will not be discouraged. Okay, number three. There's a verse in Jude. Jude comes before Revelation. There's a wonderful verse. Verse 20, but you, beloved, or I can say you, brothers and sisters, build up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You know, in addition to studying the Bible, I want to encourage all of you, brothers and sisters, read many, many Christian books. I am sorry to say, many of us don't have the good habit of reading many Christian books. And I'm not surprised if you're discouraged. Build up a library. Borrow books from our library. They say a leader is a reader. Read the biographies of missionaries and godly men. Listen to Through the Bible of Brother Zach. Read many of Brother Zach's books. Go to our website. We have a wonderful resource there. And take some good hymn book and just read the songs. You'll be encouraged. Listen to good Christian music that will lift you up. See, sometimes people listen to rock music. I don't think that has edified them. I can tell you, I've listened to good music, good song that's stirred me up. Don't miss any meetings. Use the resources on the internet to enrich you. By the grace of God, I can testify, I use the internet to build myself up and not be defiled by it. Okay, number four, how you can overcome discouragement. Look at those who endure to the end. Look at Jesus. He resisted unto sin and to blood. He never gave up. He fulfilled God's will, God's plans, God's purposes. And look at Apostle Paul. He endured much affliction. And when Apostle Paul came to the end of his life, he says, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. Apostle Paul's testimony was, we don't get discouraged. We don't lose heart. I hope you will follow Apostle Paul. Look at Job, who endured the trials. He said, though he slay me, I still trust him. He knows every detail of what's happening to me. Job could say, the Lord's given, when he lost all the wealth and property and children, he could say, the Lord gave and the Lord's taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a man Job was. Look at many missionaries. I heard William Carey came to India and he never went back. He stuck to his calling. Look at many other saints who endured much. Apostle Paul, he says in one verse, everybody in Asia turned away from me. Demas, he deserted me. Apostle Paul never let all that disturb him. He said there were many other people like Alexander, Hymenaeus and Philetus who opposed him. Ministry was not easy for Apostle Paul. But he endured till the end. Okay, number 5. Open yourself to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I want to say, you will never be discouraged. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18. And don't be drunk with wine, but in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. This is normal Christian life. Be full of the Spirit. Jesus was full of the Spirit. Peter was full of the Spirit. Stephen was full of the Spirit. Barnabas was full of the Spirit. Cornelius was filled with the Spirit. Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit. He says in Acts chapter 13 verse 52, the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you, the Lord is interested in our attitude of praise, thanks and worship. Praise is the path to encouragement. Use the gift of tongues. I have a fear that some people whom the Lord gave them the gift of tongues when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, today they've stopped using it and they've lost it. And many people have told me that gift of tongues has edified them. The Bible says, who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Okay. Number 6. Have good fellowship with Jesus and others. Jesus said, come and dine, brothers and sisters. Enjoy your fellowship with the Lord. Don't let anything come in between you and the Lord. And have good fellowship with Apostle Paul. Some people say, I'm lonely. Are you lonely? Then have fellowship with Apostle Paul. Have fellowship with the friends of Apostle Paul. Have fellowship with Apostle Peter, James and John, Stephen, Philip, Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ezra, Nehemiah was a man of encouragement. Daniel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, have some fellowship with all these men of God and seek for fellowship with the brothers and sisters in CFC. Have some godly friends who can encourage you, help you, and who desire your best. This morning, I'm sorry to say that many of you brothers and sisters do not have and don't value fellowship with the brothers and sisters and the elders here, which is pretty serious. That's one reason why you're not growing and you're not encouraged. There's a great need for the quality of fellowship to improve amongst us. I hope you will take it seriously. Some of you just run away from the meetings. You have always excuses. I want to say, I hope you will take it to your heart and say, Lord, I want to value the brothers and sisters whom I can see, whom you have given me. And see if it doesn't make a difference in your life. Okay, number 7, Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9. Again, we look at the example of Jesus. This we have spoken for many, many years. He says about Jesus, he loved, verse 9, he loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even your God, has anointed you with oil of gladness above your fellows. Jesus overcame all discouragement. He was anointed with the oil of gladness. And I want to say this morning, the Lord wants to anoint all of us, his younger brothers and sisters. It's sad if the majority of the church are discouraged. But it's wonderful if the majority of the church hates sin and love righteousness and have the anointing oil of gladness on them and are full of encouragement to encourage others. Okay. I come to the last point. Now this is not very spiritual. This is very practical. Okay? Someone said, you go for a walk and you'll be encouraged. That's really true. Go for a jogging, that lifts your spirit. Do some exercise. Volunteer to do some practical things in the church. Help in cleaning the hall and toilet. And if you don't have anything to do in the church, please come and meet me after the meeting. Get rid of all laziness. Be diligent. Be enthusiastic. And sometimes a good night's sleep is very refreshing. Don't cheat on your sleep. Sleep well, and that will also encourage you. If you're fatigued, take some rest, have a break, and say, Lord, I want to be an encourager. Brothers and sisters, I hope you'll take this thing seriously, and that will make a difference in your life, and then the Lord will encourage you. And never give up, never quit, endure to the end. And in closing, I just want to show you something I read about how to overcome discouragement. Can you put it on the screen? Number one, this is different from what I shared. Be determined to get rid of discouragement. D stands for be determined to get rid of discouragement. I insist on finding the good in every situation. God is taking us through many situations so that through it all we can get some benefit. Yes, D-I-S. Yes, set realistic goals. Don't try to complete the Bible in one day. You won't be able to do it. Okay? C, cultivate a positive look. Philippians chapter 4 verse 8. Your outlook determines your outcome. Don't be negative. Be critical. O, observe God's dealings with His children. And God has never forsook anyone. He's never failed anyone. And you use difficult times to strengthen your faith. R, resist the devil. A, avoid self-pity at all costs. Don't just say, oh, poor me. Oh, I'm having a tough time. Nobody loves me. G, get involved in the Lord's work. Do something for the Lord. Do something for the church. E, encourage others. M, make prayer a daily habit. E, escape the past. Don't just keep thinking about your past failures. Live today. Make use of the today God's given you. N, nurture a patient spirit. Don't be too hard on yourself. It takes time to grow. Don't condemn yourself. And last, T, discouragement, last letter T, take life one day at a time. In Matthew 6:34, Jesus said, each day has enough evil of its own. And I hope you will make a positive effort to overcome discouragement. And let the Lord encourage you. Open yourself to God's word. Open yourself to the Holy Spirit. Open yourself to fellowship with the brothers and sisters. And say, Lord, encourage me. Give me a minister of encouragement. Give me a minister of intercession. And Lord, help me to be addicted to your word. Help me to be addicted to prayer. Help me to be addicted to the ministry of the saints. And brothers and sisters, be a living testimony that God has anointed you. Don't be a gloomy brother who's heavy-hearted. No, be an anointed brother, the joy of the Lord. And God's put you in the church to be a wonderful brother. God's got hope for all of us. God can make all of us encouragers. God can make all of us a blessing. I want all of you to repeat some verses. Will all of us say join together and say, God will bless me and make me a blessing. All together. God has got a great plan for me. God will make me a useful member in the body of Christ. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 23, let us hold fast to the confession of our faith without wavering. It depends on you. If you open your mouth and say, I believe it's going to go well with me. I believe the Lord loves me. I believe He will never leave me. Open your mouth and confess to the devil. Confess to yourself. Confess to others. Don't just whisper. And you will find things change. May the Lord help us. Amen.
Whenever we think of discouragement, what picture comes to your mind? The picture I get is like a vehicle with a flat tire. You know how far you can go with a flat tire? You can't go for very long, maybe up to the next puncture shop. But you can't go on riding with a punctured tire. No, encouragement means put courage into. Discourage means take courage out of. It's like inflating a tire and deflating a tire. You know, it is not God's will that we go about life discouraged all the time. Even when God's people were discouraged, God sent His word, or sometimes He Himself came and encouraged them. In the case of Peter, in the case of Paul, we'll read that little later. And He sent sometimes angels to encourage them. It is not God's will that we be discouraged at any time. We are tempted to, but we refuse. We don't give in to that. You know, the reason why we get discouraged is, one of the main things is that we are not very secure in God's love. We don't believe that God loves me just as I am. We think that God expects something, some standard that I should come to. Only then God will, you know, accept me and He will love me and give me grace and answer my prayers and things like that. It is not so, my dear brothers and sisters. I want you to turn with me to Romans 5 verse 8. Let this word sink into your heart today. It says in Romans 5:8, it says, God demonstrates His own love towards us. You put your name there. In that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When did Christ die for me? When I was at my worst, when I deserved His wrath and condemnation, that was the time when Christ died for me. Then, see the next verses. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, and through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. I think this word is self-explanatory. It speaks to you. It says, when I was at my worst, God sent Jesus to die for me, and He died for me. Now that I have been justified and reconciled, how much more God loves you and me and saves you and me from the impending sins that are there. No, God loves us. We need to realize that we are precious to God. God said in Zechariah 2:8, He said, whoever touches you touches the apple of my eye. You know, it's not just touching me somewhere here on the hand or in my foot or something like that. It is eyes, an area in our life which is extremely sensitive. And anybody does something to you, anybody touches you, touches the apple of my eye, God says. That means you better be careful when you touch one of God's children, either through word or through a letter or through your wrong attitude. Be careful. God is on the throne. He's watching to defend His children. And you know, you and I have been uniquely made. We are not just a random chance. You and I have, we were conceived in the mind of Christ, in the mind of God, even before the world began. You know that verse in Ephesians, it says, God chose us even before the foundation of the world. That means even before Adam and Eve were born, even before the world's foundations were laid, you were conceived already in God's mind, before you were conceived in your mother's womb. So precious you are to God. There is no one like you and me on this earth. Ever since creation, nobody was like you. After you are dead and gone, nobody will be like you. You are unique in your makeup, your fingerprints, your palm prints, your footprints, your voice print, your iris print, and your gait, the way you walk, and your voice. Everything is unique about you, you know. After God created you, He, like somebody said, broke the mold so that nobody else can be made like you. You are unique. The billions of people that God has created since the creation, nobody has been like you. And you are very precious to Him. And you know, you are irreplaceable. We sing in a song to the Lord, of course, there is none like you. But I was thinking, and it is true of us also, there is none like you. No one in the world is like you. You are unique. You know, Paul was so secure in his love in God that he said, neither death nor life, nor heights nor depth, nor angels nor demons, nor things present nor things to come, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of Christ, from the love of God manifested in Christ Jesus, he said. Do we have that kind of confidence? Because of that, that confidence kept him going through all the trials and tribulations that he went through. He was oftentimes tempted to get discouraged, but he never gave into that. See, he said in 2 Timothy 1:12, he said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep me, or keep that which I have committed to him until that day. What is it that he committed to God? It is his life and his ministry, perhaps. He said, I am convinced and persuaded, he said, that God is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day. Do we have that confidence, or we wonder one day God loves me, another day I doubt whether God loves me at all because I fell here, I fell there, I did this wrong, that wrong. Do we have that kind of thing? God is not basing his love according to your performances, dear brothers and sisters. Remember that. We read that earlier. Even when we were dead in our sins and trespasses, when we were his enemies, Christ died for us. Now, since you are his child, how much more he loves you. You know, the psalmist says in Psalm 42 and 43, I want you to turn there, in verse 5 and verse 11 and chapter 43, verse 5. These three verses are almost identical, word to word. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, and I shall again praise Him, the help of His countenance. Almost the same in all these three verses. And what is the antidote for this discouragement? He says, hope in God and praise Him. Praise is the antidote to discouragement. You know, we sing in that song, praise is the power of heaven. Praise opens the door to the King of Kings. It's through praise that we come to His presence. Enter His gates with thanksgiving in your heart and His courts with praise, the psalmist says. And Psalm 22, it says, Thou who art enthroned upon the praises of Israel, it says. That means, when I praise God, I make a throne for Him to sit upon. He is enthroned upon the praises of His people. So when I praise Him, God inhabits that throne. And when God's presence comes, while you are praising Him, you think anybody can stand before Him? No discouragement, no depression, no blueness or whatever. None of those things, these moods, can stand before Him, because in Thy presence, the psalmist says in Psalm 16, is fullness of joy, and at Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Paul was tempted to be discouraged often. I want you to just turn with me to a few verses. I was reading the book of Acts in the last few days. It says in Acts 18:9, number of times how God encouraged him in different situations. Here in verse 18:9, the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, do not be afraid any longer. It's the Lord Himself speaking to Paul. And in chapter 23, verse 11, and on the night immediately following, the Lord stood at his side and said, take courage, Paul. You see, the Lord Himself standing by Paul's side and telling him, Paul, take courage. And one more verse in chapter 27, verse 23 and 24. Here, while they have had shipwreck, everybody was discouraged. They were almost, they went without food for 14 days, it says. They didn't eat anything. And in verse 23, he tells these people on the ship, he says, for this very night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You see here, God encouraging his servant through visions, through angels, through his very own presence. Today we don't need to have them, because the word of God is given to us. That time the word of God was not completed. Now we have everything. We don't have to wait for an angel to come and tell. Because Jesus said, behold, I am with you even till the end of the ages. When he has promised to be with you, you don't need anybody else apart from him. Do you? We sing in a song that's from Isaiah. It says, Isaiah 61, it says, he gave me beauty for ashes and garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. You know, discouragement is spirit of heaviness, gloom, dullness, dimness, colorlessness, hopelessness. These are all characteristics of discouragement, different meanings. Heaviness, instead of heaviness, has given me a spirit of praise. When next time when you are down with discouragement and heaviness, practice this spirit of praise, praising God. You may not feel like praising God when you are down in the dumps, But that is the time we need to praise God. That is why it is called the sacrifice of praise. What's the point in my praising the Lord when my stomach is full and everything is going all right? It's when I'm down in the dumps, when I'm deeply discouraged and disturbed, that is the time I praise God, because I know He is on the throne. He remembers me. He will never leave me. He said, I will never, never, never leave you nor forsake you. Garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. You see, brothers and sisters, we got to exercise this. It may not come naturally to us to praise God. You may feel like, you know, complaining and bemoaning our fate or whatever. But we need to cultivate the spirit of praise. There is a sacrifice in it. When you praise in the midst of trouble, you read that Psalm 22. I want to close with one more verse, Psalm 22. This is a psalm of crucifixion. When Jesus was on the cross, He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is the first verse of this psalm. Why have you forsaken me? Yet, He says, Thou art holy, in verse 3. Thou who art enthroned upon the praises of Israel. Then verse 22, He says, I will tell of thy name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise thee. See, even when He is on the cross, this is psalm of crucifixion. He says, in the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. And you who fear the Lord, praise Him. Verse 25, from thee comes my praise in the great assembly. I shall pay my vows before those who fear Him. And those who seek Him will praise the Lord. Verse 26. Let your heart live forever. Don't get discouraged, brothers and sisters. God is on you, for you. He is on the throne. And He is with you. He has promised to be with you. And He said, I am with you wherever you go. And He told, even in the old covenant, to Joshua, every place where your foot treads, that place I have given you. And wherever you go, I shall be with you. And no man will be able to stand before you as long as you live on this earth. Shall we claim these promises and go from today with our heads lifted up, with a song in our heart, with a twinkle in our eyes and a spring in our steps, go forth believing that He is with you and for you. And if God is for you, nobody can be against you.
I want to share on, we heard about overcoming discouragement in many areas, but I want to share on how to overcome discouragement when we fall into sin. I think this is something that all young people, maybe even middle-aged people, and sometimes even old people struggle with, right? When we fall into sin, we find it difficult to come back to God. So I want to just share a few things on that. We know the story. It's very familiar, right? When we fall into sin, the devil whispers, you have failed God. And he tries to put a net of discouragement around us. And he tells us so many lies. God is upset with you. You cannot come back to God. We know these whisperings, right? We are all familiar with it. But brothers and sisters, these are all lies. They are not truth. The truth is different. We can read from the Message Bible, Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2, Brother Charles read that passage. I want to just read it from the Message Bible. It shows us what God has done for us. And it is completely different from what the devil tries to convince us and lie to us about. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3, the last part onwards from the Message Bible. So this is what really happened when we were lost in sin. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with the whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy and with an incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did all this on his own with no help from us. When we were dead in sin, when we had no interest for God, when we did not care for God, when our situation was so hopeless, we were dead. God's eyes saw us and he came to us and he decided to do something for us. We must always remember this, brothers and sisters. Whenever we are discouraged after we fall into sin, we must remember this. God loved me when I was a dead sinner. If he could love me then, how much more he loves me now? And two or three quick examples I want to just share from the Bible, which shows God's heart and how much God wants to restore us when we have fallen into a sin and we are discouraged. The first example is Adam and Eve. We know what happened. They spend a beautiful day with God in fellowship with him, a beautiful day of fellowship, their first day of their life. And then soon after that, they disappointed the heart of God and broke God's heart, and they both fell into sin and they hid themselves. But God came looking after them. God came to the garden and called out Adam by name. Adam, where are you? We see the heart of God there, how much God wants to restore fallen man, how much God wants to restore a fallen sinner. It must encourage us, brothers and sisters. The next example, we can turn briefly to that in Ezekiel chapter 16. We know that passage. Ezekiel chapter 16. It's a story of a helpless baby that was thrown out, covered with blood. We can think of that baby. We can think that we were that baby. Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 5, 6 and 9, I'll read. No, I pitied you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you, but you were thrown out into the open field when you yourself were loathed on the day that you were born. And when I passed by you and I saw you struggling in your own blood, I said to you, live. And again the Lord says that, yes, I said to you when you were in your own blood, live. This is the heart of God, brothers and sisters. This is the real heart of God. When he sees a sinner in his sin, when he sees a sinner struggling to overcome a sin, to come out of that sin, this is the word of encouragement the Lord gives us. Live, my son, live. I have hope for you. And one more example in Luke chapter 15, when the prodigal son came back. Just one verse, Luke 15, verse 20. I love this. Now we can take a snapshot of this picture. The father is looking out from the house every day to see whether his son will come back or not. Every day he was looking out. That's proof he had hope for the son. And one day the son, he sees his son. It says here, while he was still a long way off, the son was still very far, the father saw him. And we can take a picture of that what is happening there. He saw his son, he knew it was his son, and he saw. He hadn't yet made any speech to his father, Father, I have sinned against you. No, he hadn't said any speech, but he saw a desire in that son's heart. Father, I have turned from my sin. And he felt compassion for him. And we read, when the son walked, the father ran. This is the heart of God, brothers and sisters. Every time we sin, God tries to tell us, my son, my daughter, this is my heart, to restore you from your sin, to lift you up from your discouragement. You don't have to be discouraged because I'm on your side and I will help you. I will help you to come out of the sin. I will cleanse you and I will help you to overcome discouragement and put you back on your feet. So none of us need to be discouraged, brothers and sisters. You know, sometimes we think like this, Lord, when I sin, do you really know what I'm going through? When I sin and I failed you, Lord, do you really know the pains and the pangs that I go through? Jesus never sinned during his life, but on the cross he took our sins. And when he took all of our sins on him, Jesus experienced what it was to have sin. Because he was separated from the Father, he lost that fellowship with the Father. And he knew what we all feel, cut away from God, cut away from the presence of God, which he enjoyed. The same thing we feel when we fall into sin. We lose that presence of God and we lose that sense of God's nearness. The same thing Jesus felt on the cross. That is why he is able to understand what we go through. That is why he is able to strengthen us when we fall, because he has gone through it already and he knows the pain involved. So God wants us, brothers and sisters, to really reassure us, when we sin, that's not the end of the world. God knows and God sees that small cry in our heart to be restored to him. And he wants to reassure us of his love for us. He wants to tell us, my child, I will help you. I am for you. Don't be discouraged. So young people, middle-aged people, anybody, if we accidentally fall into sin and we hurt God, let us remind ourselves, this is the heart of God, to a loving Father who wants to restore us to fellowship with him, back to him, and he will help us. Never let a fall or a sin discourage us. God has great plans for every one of us. Every one of us, he has a plan. Many times we allow discouragement to stop us from fulfilling that plan. No, God has a plan for you. God has a specific purpose for your life. We must shake off discouragement and come to God and say, Lord, here am I, Lord. I want to fulfill your plan for my life. Thank you for loving me. I believe God will help all of us to really overcome discouragement in the coming days. Amen.